It doesn't matter how faithful a person you are, there are things that happen in life that will challenge you to the core of your faith. In our Torah portion, Vayishlach, Jacob sent messengers to Esau. The word for messenger is the same word that is used in Hebrew for angel. And the purpose of the messengers was to find out Esau's intentions. And when Jacob found out that Esau was coming with 400 men, he began to implement Plan B, or Plan Bet, you might say. He couldn't rule out the possibility that Esau was still angry for his earlier deceptions, and he divided up his belongings and his people into two camps, and so that one camp would get away if the other was attacked. And Esau kept coming. Jacob was finally left alone to wrestle with a man all night long. It's interesting to me that men are called angels, and the angel of God is called a man. I guess there's a lesson in there somewhere for us. When we are challenged to the very core of our being, is there anything that we won't do to escape? See, it was there that Jacob was renamed Israel. There, with his angry brother looming down upon him, everything he owned, his whole family on the line, it was there that Jacob wrestled with the physical incarnation of God, who had spoken to him at Bethel and had blessed him in the house of Laban, his uncle. The parsha includes a curious incident involving Leah's daughter, Dinah. As one commentator put it, this is a story where none of the heroes are unblemished and none of the villains are irredeemable. And I'd love to develop that theme. But my purpose today is not to exposit the Torah portion, but rather to talk about our hope. Jacob seemed to lose hope when he saw what Shimon and Levi had done to avenge their sister's honor. He bemoaned their actions when they went and killed all the men of Shechem. But it's interesting that Jacob didn't speak up when the father of Shechem, the prince of the land, had come to ask for the hand of Dinah on behalf of his son. Jacob didn't have a plan to get her back. It was the sons who spoke up about the plan for the men to be circumcised. And it was two of Dinah's brothers, also sons of Leah, who went into town and killed every man and plundered the city. Jacob was afraid that all the surrounding countryside would be against him when they found out what his sons had done. It was then that God whispered again to Jacob and told him to go to Beth-El again, the house of God, to go again to the house of God. Sometimes it's hard to be in the house of God, but when God calls you to do it, you do it. Jacob commanded his sons to get rid of all their idols. They buried them under a tree, and it sort of makes me wonder, idols? Why did they have idols? What were they doing with idols? And it was in Bethel that God once again spoke to Jacob and reminded him that his name was Israel. Have you ever been tested to the core? The fact is, most of us, and I include myself, you'll see in a moment, don't really trust in God. Mostly we trust in our circumstances. This was the case in Gan Eden, in the Garden of Eden. It's the case today. Eve saw that the fruit was good for food and pleasant to the eyes, that it would make a person wise, and she took it and she ate it. And she gave it to Adam, and though he knew better, he also ate. Where was their trust? Perhaps Adam thought, if Eve is going to die, my own life won't be worth living. I could imagine him thinking that. He thought, maybe I should just go wherever she is going. Jacob was trusting in his circumstances. He was afraid of Esau. He was afraid of the men of Shechem. And he was afraid of the people who would hear about the deception of his sons and their attack on the men of Shechem. My life may not be a good example, but I also have been tested to the depths, at least of my being, by my circumstances. It may not compare to the tests that you have experienced in your life, but it was about as much as I could handle at the time. Very simply, I did not know how I would be able to survive a financial hole that I had dug myself into. I even had thoughts of ending my life. It seemed like I was worth more dead than alive through my life insurance. That would at least solve our financial problems. You get a little crazy when you're in a crisis, don't you? I was in such despair at one point that I pulled the car into a parking lot on our way to a meeting. Sherry was in the car next to me, and I began to sob, and I sobbed so hard that I wasn't sure I would be able to catch my breath. Sherry seemed to be getting worried. I couldn't really talk and tell her what was going on with me, so at one point I really thought I might not be able to take my breath. I really thought I might die in the depths of my sobbing. I wondered what that would be like. I began to wonder what would happen if I passed away in that moment. I asked myself what I really believed would happen. What did I really think would happen? And there at the depths of despair, physically shaken, emotionally torn, with no clue how to go on, I realized that I believed it was true. That the Bible story of how things work and who God is and His plan for mankind, I believed it. I just believed it. Everything from the history to the future was determined and established in Scripture. I realized that I really did believe it all, and that God was able to be trusted. It was there and then that I realized I could trust God. I could cast all my care on Him and trust that His care for me, though it might at times be painful, and though I might experience financial ruin, and though I might go through things that I would never want to go through, still my whole life was wrapped up in Him and His care for me. Now, again, my experience was probably not comparable to yours. I've had other experiences. I had a friend who was probably going through his own version of hell, of Sheol, if you will, when he shot his wife and his two stepchildren. People have lost children, siblings, spouses. I have never experienced any of those things. I did lose a job one time. It did shake me to the core. But at the core, I found that I still ultimately believed that God is real. His word is true. No matter how dire my circumstances might become, every breath I take is by His grace. I didn't choose to believe. The belief was there already. I chose instead to trust. That was my choice, to trust. But I already believed. I also learned that while I could tell other people about my experience, it was still my experience. It wasn't yours. There are times when no scripture, no platitude, no well-meaning words, and no shared circumstances from anyone will matter. There are times of testing in which your very soul is on the table and you are wrestling with a man, a malach, an angel perhaps, who won't tell you his name because it is wonderful. There are times when you'll know something of what it might have been like for Yeshua. In Gethsemane, as blood came from his pores while he prayed for the strength to complete his task. It was yesterday on the secular calendar, 4 days ago on the Hebrew calendar, that we observed an anniversary. It was the 22nd anniversary of when I gave my first sermon in this room. This spring will mark the 35th anniversary of the beginning of Ohev Yisrael in 1980 as a congregation. I've seen many horrible things during that time, but I have also seen many wonderful things. I've seen miraculous healings. I have seen times when the Holy Spirit was present in such tangible power that people could only stand still and not even speak. I have seen supernatural wisdom flow like water from the throne of God, irresistible wisdom that encouraged lives and gave hope. More than anything, I have seen the reason for the hope. By the way, for those who need to know, the title of the message is The Reason for the Hope. The fact that something happened over 2,000 years ago has made all the difference. A new creation was established. There is a new order in the universe. Everything that existed before that is being tested and subjugated to the new order. Yeshua defeated death, and from that time forward, the new creation has been brought forth and continues to be brought forth, leading to the day when the new Jerusalem will descend from heaven and touch the earth. Movies sometimes depict the end of the world. They use computer-generated graphics, and you can imagine the pulse, the electromagnetic pulse or whatever that goes through as the world is coming to an end. But they usually show the destruction. But that which is being destroyed doesn't even compare with what will be revealed. In the power of the Holy Spirit, we have a taste of that future day. In the day of the Lord, all the earth will be holy. Even, we read in Zechariah, the bells on the horses will be holy. Now, bells on horses are not something you would normally think of as holy, but even the bells on the horses. See, the power of that future age is already in the earth through the resurrection of Yeshua and through the giving of the Holy Spirit. And it is given to those who are willing to die for the sake of the testimony of Yeshua. It's not that we seek death. God forbid. Because that could be said by a lot of religions. We should die for the name of our God. But we're not seeking death. God forbid that we should seek death. Life is precious. We don't seek death. But we don't hold our lives as being so precious that we're afraid of what men will do to us for bringing the testimony of Yeshua into the world that is around us, the world that we live in. The scripture tells us the testimony of Yeshua is the spirit of prophecy. Are you willing to speak what the God of Israel is saying, even if it costs you your life? Soldiers trained to be able to lay down their lives and do what is necessary to achieve the mission for which they are sent. You have to be trained to do that. You have to be trained to ignore that voice that says, get out of here, you're a goner. You have to be trained to ignore it. Are you training to complete your mission? Are you ready to give the reason for the hope that is in you at any time or place and to any person according to the choosing of God through the Spirit? I want to encourage us today, Something changed 2,000 years ago. And we live in a new reality, a reality in which we, by our own sacrificial living, can bring the kingdom of God into the world, at least in part, right now, right where you are. Our obedience, our training as disciples, our very lives laid down for this truth and this hope can destroy the old order and begin to bring the new order into being. What do you believe? I encourage you to search your hearts. Determine what is at the bottom of the well of your own faith. Learn to act on it. Then watch miracles flow. Watch lives changed. Sherry and I are preparing to leave next Thursday evening to visit our son Jonathan and his family. Been lots of stories about what it's like there in Israel. We've seen the news. We've seen the random acts of terrorism. It almost looks from our vantage point here in this country as though there's terror on every street corner in Jerusalem and in Israel. But that's not the case. They're very few and far between. If you're there, you see those spots as isolated spots and everything else as pretty normal, even though you realize you're probably a little bit more concerned about somebody walking along that you don't know. You're a little bit more concerned, but you know what? You cannot live your life in fear. And they don't. They choose not to live their lives in fear. So we'll begin our Hanukkah before you do. About 7 hours before you do. And we will definitely be thinking of you all. Hanukkah is also about obeying the commandments. And I'm sure that whoever brings the Hanukkah message at Ohev this year will bring that theme forward. And meanwhile, I want to just wish you all a happy Hanukkah. And for those who are celebrating the birth of Yeshua at this time of year, Merry Christmas. Thank you.